pray as we begin. Lord, your word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our paths. And we pray that by the wonderful help of your Spirit today, you will be at work in our lives so that we can follow your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what is Christmas all about? The adverts have got lots of lovely food on them, haven't they? So it's food and electronic goods, diamonds and fragrances. So there you go. That's what Christmas is all about, according to the adverts. If you go to the Nativity plays, then you've got baby Jesus, shepherds, angels, wise men. They certainly are in Christmas. Even if the government bans them this year, who knows what will happen. Now, what does John, who's writing about Jesus, have to add to the picture? Well, John brings news of light in darkness that will possibly bring division, because people respond in different ways, but God's power can be at work as well. And that's what we're seeing in our passage today. Last week, we saw the first few verses of this passage. It's a great well-known passage from carol services. And we saw that the Word, who is Jesus, is actually God with God, the co-creator, and light in darkness. And so we need to respond to him because of those things. Worship and wonder and wholeheartedness. And now, John tells us that this wonderful word has come into the world. But people are going to respond. And which way will they go? And that includes us. That includes you. You will have responded in one way or another to the word. And how you have responded and how you respond will change how you see this passage. So today we're going to see the message to hear or to tell, the light to believe in or persuade of, and the new birth to receive or enjoy. So first of all, the message to hear or to tell. The message to hear or to tell. John tells us that God sent somebody with a message. And the message was evidence about the light. There was a witness and he had testimony to tell. These are words that come from a sort of a court appearance, aren't they? A witness, evidence and testimony. And this messenger is John the Baptist. John, he names him. And is the purpose to all this. And the purpose is that through this message and witness and testimony, people believe. Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him, that through the light, all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now, this idea of evidence and testimony and a witness who gives this evidence and testimony is really important in John's gospel, but not just for John, for God's whole purpose with Jesus. So in John's gospel, John himself says later on that he's a witness giving testimony and evidence. So if you just flick on to the end of the book, John chapter 20 and verse 30, he writes, this is after Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So John, writing the book, sees himself as someone with evidence, giving testimony. He's a witness. But it's not just him. God's whole purpose in Jesus is that there is this wonderful salvation that he brings about, and John writes about that in his gospel. But it's a salvation that is available to everybody in the world through Jesus. How is that? How are they going to hear about it? Through a message that is testimony, that witnesses spread as they give the evidence. So there's evidence, and John writes about that with the actions and the words of Jesus and the impact they have. There are witnesses, the original apostles, who gave us the New Testament, and then throughout the ages, believers in Jesus, testifying to their own experience of what has happened to them because of Jesus. Evidence, witnesses. And then there's testimony. There is the message of Jesus, the good news that Jesus is light and life, the Son of God, the Messiah, that his death takes away sin, his resurrection means he's alive and can give us life, and he is now returned to his heavenly Father as ruler and Lord of everything. So we, the message says, are to respond. We're to repent, that's to turn around from our sin and turn his way, and believe in all that Jesus is and has done. Testimony. Evidence, witnesses, testimony. Now all the advertising that's going on at the moment on telly, it's all got a reason, hasn't it? I mean, they spend millions on these adverts, and they have great big production crews, and then they get them on the television, on YouTube, on all sorts of social media. They're working really hard. Now, why do they bother with this? Why do they do it? Because it's going to have an impact, isn't it? They know that it will change people's buying habits because of what they advertise. So you might go and buy that Aldi radish because you've seen the advert, when you never would have thought of it before. Well, that's a silly example, isn't it? But there's lots of ways that we do change because of the advertising we see. And so to have a message that we tell to people is a really important thing. And God knows that. And that's his purpose here with the Lord Jesus. And John the Baptist comes as the first witness, as it were. So there is this message. And we can do two things with that. Well, we can hear it or tell it. Perhaps to someone who needs to hear the message. We all start needing to hear the message. There are facts about Jesus, his life, death, resurrection. And there's the meaning behind it. His death going to our being our forgiveness of sins, as he dies in our place and takes on himself God's anger that we should bear for rejecting God. His life, meaning that there is new life and there is a way through death with the Lord Jesus. His exaltation to heaven, meaning God exists and is real, and Jesus is Lord. So there is a message to hear. Have you heard the message? Perhaps you need to hear more of it. In the new year, we're going to start a Christianity Explored course. And it's a chance to read one of the Gospels and talk about the message of Jesus and hear it for yourself. Maybe it'll be for the first time you've heard it in its entirety. Maybe it's something you need to think again about. Sign up at our church website, stlm.uk/contact, to sign up for Christianity Explored. But perhaps you've heard this, and actually you're someone who can tell others and pass on the evidence that you now have and join in with God's purpose and plan so that more can hear. Next year, as a church, along with Emmanuel and St. George's and St. Martin's Church in our parish, we're joining in with something called A Passion for Life. We've got a guy called Roger Carswell coming for a week, and in the evenings he's going to do a series of meetings looking at real lives, where he's going to interview various people who have heard the message and responded from different walks of life. That's an opportunity for us to share that evidence, to tell the evidence to other people. Now you might say, well, all my friends are Christians already. Well, in which case, why don't you get together with some of your Christian friends and go and join another club somewhere where there are people who you haven't met before, make some new friends. Or maybe you say, well, I'm not a very chatty person, so I can't really tell anyone. Pray that you would love what Jesus has done for you so much that it would overflow and you can't help but tell people. Pray that God would get those people in your life to ask you questions, so you've got to say something. And it's not just a passion for life. Christmas is coming up. Great opportunity. You could choose any of those things that we've got happening to bring friends along to. Why not ask friends around for a mince pie or six before the carol service, and then go back afterwards for some mulled wine? You've got to register people for the carol services this year. Well, why not register your friends for them so they don't have to worry about the website, and bring them along? There's a message. A message to hear or to tell. And then there's the light. The light to believe in or persuade of. Excuse me. This is verses 9 to 11. With Jesus, the light of the world, coming into the world has to respond in one way or another. Will they recognize him? will they receive him? And there's a tragedy here in these verses, and it's this. The creation is blind to his creator. The descendants of Abraham, the Israelites, reject their Messiah. Have a look at verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. There's something incredible in these verses, and it is the incarnation. The incarnation. It's a Christian word for God becoming human. Jesus, the Word, who was there before creation even was begun, the Son of God, becoming a human and doing that through Mary giving birth to a baby, the baby Jesus. It's an amazing thing. And it happens just there in verses 9 and 10. And the perspective shifts. So John says in verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And then you sort of move in time and look back at it. He was in the world. It's a wonderful truth, just in a couple of lines there. He's coming into the world. He was in the world. And this is wonderful. And it's mysterious. It's mysterious in the sense that we can understand some of it, but it's beyond us. It's so wonderful. The one who is God with God, co-creator, light and life in the creation, becomes small in that creation, just a single human being in the whole of the universe, and lives a humble life. There are no palaces in this child and grown-up's life, except for when he gets abused in them or kicked out of them. His dad was a carpenter, and he lets people mistreat him, even kill him. It's a wonderful, mysterious thing, the incarnation. Now, if it was just humility in the life of Jesus as he becomes human, then we would expect not to recognize him, because how does he look any different from anyone else? We'd expect not to receive him, because you think, well, there's just so many people walking around here. Which one is the Messiah? There's a great story about the Queen, which I've told you before, so forgive me if you've heard this before. Apparently, when she's up at Balmoral, she likes to wander around the local area in ordinary clothes, so that she doesn't look like this. She doesn't look queeny. She looks normal. And one day, she was in a local shop, and an American tourist was there looking at the postcards and said, "Oh, wow, you know, you look just like the Queen." To which she said, "How very reassuring." But if you'd seen Jesus, there'd be very little in just looking at him to say, "This is the Son of God, the Messiah," because he was in complete humility. But there was the signs and the evidence, the things he did, the words he spoke, his teaching and miracles were things only God could do. There was the evidence. How could you see that and not recognize that he's the Messiah? How could you hear his words and not receive the one speaking them as Son of God and Saviour? How could you miss it? And the answer is because of human sin and self-centeredness, which affected them back in the first century just as much as it affects you and me today. That's why he's rejected then and now, because we're just too up ourselves to realise how great God is. The light come into the world to believe in or persuade of. Now maybe you are someone who still needs to believe in the light. John's words are really helpful here, aren't they? Because he talks about us hearing evidence and recognising Jesus, his identity, who he is, and receiving him as light and the life giver. Perhaps that's something you need to do. Perhaps you haven't done that yet for yourself. Recognise who Jesus is and receive him. Maybe you still need to believe in Jesus. But maybe you do believe in him. In which case, perhaps you can help to persuade others of him. to recognize and receive him for themselves. And when I talk about persuade, I don't mean in a grumpy, angry kind of way. I mean in a gentle, loving, careful, and prayerful way. Again, a passion for life gives us an opportunity to get involved in that. And all of our Christmas events, to say to others, look, can you see that this Jesus, not a fairy tale, real, and not just about lovely food at Christmas, but light coming into the world for life. Can you see? The light to believe in or persuade of. So the message to hear or tell, the light to believe in or persuade of, and John tells us also about the new birth to receive or enjoy. You see, not everyone rejects the light. And those who believe and receive get an amazing result. God's life-giving power at work, bringing new life to them so they become a new child themselves, a child of God. Have a look at verse 12. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name. Now, what does that mean, to believe in his name? Well, in those days, the name of someone was more than just a word that was something to call out when you'd lost them. David, David. In those days, a name represented the whole character of a person, who they were, their identity. So to believe in the name of Jesus is to believe that evidence about who he is, the Son of God, the Saviour. Everything that refers to that. And then as a result of that, to recognise and receive him. That's what believing in his name is. And when we do that, John says that there's God's amazing gift for us. When someone turns to Jesus, there's a human side to it and a divine side. On the human side, it's all about hearing the testimony, receiving the evidence, believing, receiving, recognising. On God's side, God does something amazing. He brings a new birth to that person, a spiritual birth. They go from being an enemy of God to being a child of God. And God does it, not any human force. To those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So this new birth is there for us to receive or enjoy. Perhaps for someone who still needs to receive this new birth from God. Don't delay. Don't delay. This is truth. It's fact and reality. That man, back all those years ago, was the Son of God, the Saviour, come to earth. Don't delay. His promise is, if we turn from our sin, our rejection of God in our lives, and if we put our lives in his hand, then new life with God is ours. So why wait? I'm going to pray a prayer at the end of this talk, which we can use, if you want to, you can use to put your faith in Jesus. So maybe you still need to receive this new birth. Or maybe you have, and you can enjoy it. Have you been born again, to use John's words from John 3? Rejoice. Rejoice. What an incredible privilege to be a child of God in this difficult and dark world. To be loved, saved, welcomed. You belong. You're kept by him. Thanks to Jesus and thanks to God at work in your life. New birth to receive or to enjoy. Please remember, in the midst of all those glossy and glamorous Christmas adverts, what John tells us about the light coming into the world. There's a message, and then maybe that's something you need to hear or to tell. Will you? There's light. Perhaps that's something you need to believe in or to persuade someone else of. Will you? And there's new birth. Maybe that you need to receive that for yourself, to enjoy it. Will you? Here's a prayer, which I'll pray. And if you want to, you can echo this in your heart. If you think the time has come to receive Jesus into your life, then you need to admit that you've gone against God, to believe in who he is, and to come to him and ask for his help. Don't do this without considering the cost. It means turning away from the things in our lives which are our things rather than God's things. And your friends will think you're bonkers. But the flip side is, there's new life on offer. The amazing gift to be a child of God, forgiven, knowing God as a friend. So I'm going to pray through this prayer. And if you want to, join in with me in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. Join in with me in your heart if you want to. If you want to pray it for yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus, by coming into the world, brings light, which is life, where there would otherwise be darkness. I admit that I have lived in the darkness of sin and not lived for you. I'm sorry, and I turn from that. Please forgive me. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me on the cross, and is now alive as my Lord and Saviour. I come to you and ask that you would take me as your child, forgiven and with new life, just as you have promised. Amen. And if you have prayed that prayer for the first time, then do please tell someone, a Christian, and get in touch with us, and we can help you as you start out living this new life for Jesus.